From Phoenix to Fredonia, Tucson to Tuba City, the Arizona Department of Transportation is connecting Arizona. Everyone, everywhere, every day. Now you're connected to On the Road with ADOT.
It's great to have you with us again. Another podcast here from the Arizona Department of Transportation. I'm Doug from ADOT Communications. So glad you could join us wherever you may be, whenever this may be for you. And we love to talk about some of the things that ADOT is doing to make life as good as we can possibly make it for folks who use our highways and freeways and our motor vehicle services and everything in between. And there's all sorts of things we can talk about, but there's something that may not always come to mind for people, and that is our care and concern for the environment. We actually have an extremely robust group of folks whose job it is to look at our environment and our cultural resources and just things that are unique to this state that we need to preserve, protect, and care for, even as the state grows and serves all the people. And so to that end, we want to talk today about our cultural resources, and we have Chris Powell. Chris, welcome to the ADOT podcast. It is good to have you here with us today. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you, Doug. It's really great to be here.
So, Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself. You live here in Arizona. You live in the Valley. We're of course, worldwide in our scope here, but you live here in the Phoenix area. How long have you been with ADOT?
Yes, I've lived in Arizona for a little over 20 years, and I've been with ADOT a little over four.
Excellent. And what is it that you do? Because it's something that I bet most people don't realize ADOT has dealt with for a very long time, and we care very much about it.
Yes, I am an archaeologist. My official title is Cultural Resource Program Manager. I run the archaeologists for ADOT.
Why would ADOT need archaeologists?
Well, archaeology is mandated by law, so that's the easiest way to describe it. Archaeology is basically the study of past human events.
Right. And in Arizona, of course, if you live in the Phoenix area, for example, you could go to someplace like Pueblo Grande, which is a site that's actually a museum, if you will, or a site where you can see ruins. Of course, there are ruins throughout the entire portions of the state. You can go up to Tuzigoot near Cottonwood and that kind of see where native peoples from centuries ago lived. But that's very much in your wheelhouse, because we talk about when we're going to build a road or expand a road, we have to be careful with these resources. Can you tell us a little bit about what your goal is and what your job is in that role?
Well, our goal is to help ADOT make sure that during their construction process and their design process, that we're here to make sure that they follow the law. We're not here to prevent the roadway. Everybody needs the roadway.
Sure.
We're just trying to help them find the balance between preserving the past and building the future.
And that's really a statewide scope, isn't it? Because you could find interesting artifacts or evidence of you know, ancient civilizations, if you will, going back to pre-Columbian times, I suppose, pretty much anywhere in the state, right?
Oh, yes. Arizona is full of unique and a rich, diverse history. We have our state is wonderful. There's lots of interesting and diverse prehistoric and historic cultures. So there's archaeology everywhere.
What do we find? I know I'm sure that's a very broad question, but I mean, do we find a lot of ancient villages? Do we find what do we find? And why is that important to us?
We find a lot of things. For instance, just within Arizona's right-of-way, ADOT's right-of-way, there's right. Over 2,600 known cultural resource sites.
2,600?
There's over 200,000 in Arizona alone, and most of the state has yet to be fully surveyed.
So people are driving by these things all the time, and they really don't even know it, do they?
That's true.
What are they driving by? Are we looking at old villages? Are we looking at caches of pottery or other things that go back to a lifestyle that we can only imagine?
All of the above, actually. Archaeology covers just the artifact all the way up to a Holcomb village or an ancestral Puebloan rock shelter.
So tell us about the Holcomb. I mean, that's a word that a lot of people have heard. We have some schools and other, stadiums named after the Holcomb or Holcomb. If you're new to Arizona, you may not know about who they were. Why? Who are they? Who were they? And why are they important to our history and our culture?
So the Holcomb is a cultural construct. Archaeologists came up with the name.
Okay.
It's a version of a Pima word that means all used up.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And the Piman would like us to use the Huhugam, which is more like their ancestors.
Right. There's a cultural center just off I-10 on the Gila River community called the, with that very name. And that's and then and the, that tribe has elements of the Pima people in it,
uh-huh.
as a part of that. So again, why is their society so important to us to acknowledge, remember, and to be devoted to, in a sense?
That's a great question, and it sort of boils down to the fact that ADOT is maintaining like 6,000 miles of roadway across the state, mm-hmm. and the Ho'okam or the Huhugam occupied the southern part of the state, mostly Phoenix down to the south. And so that's a good amount of, you know, our interstate freeway system. And for ADOT, I think the important part is that we don't own the right-of-way that our roadway is on. Most of that is easement, and those are easements across state, federal, and tribal lands.
Correct.
And so over 1,000 miles are on tribal lands, and cultural resources is something that's very important to the tribes because they represent the remains of their ancestors.
Right.
So they're very concerned with what ADOT's doing on the roadway and how could that potentially impact those cultural resources that they care about.
Okay, so you folks look at what ADOT is doing in terms of we're going to expand a highway here, we're going to put a highway there, whatever the case may be. What kind of process does that set in motion for you when you say, okay, we're going to have to go out here and see what we're going to find? Tell us a little bit about how you approach that.
So as I mentioned previously, cultural resources are dictated by law.
Right.
So we're basically following the law that was – cultural resource laws go back to the early 1900s, but most recently the one that we use the most is the National Historic Preservation Act, and it's also known as Section 106. And Section 106 basically indicates that a federal – agency needs to take into consideration the effect of whatever project they're doing on cultural resources. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to assess, you know, what is the project and what impact might it have to cultural resources. So in order to do that, we're going to start with an investigation to see what area, what sites may be in the area that we're looking to construct or maintain.
And some of those are going to be, you know, there's something in that area, or maybe you suspect, but in some cases you may find something that was completely unknown, right?
Yeah, the first step that we have is we need to determine whether the area has been previously surveyed or not.
Okay.
We have an inventory, a state-level inventory that records previously recorded surveys and previously recorded sites, so we do our homework. We basically check to see whether this area has been previously surveyed, and then are there any known sites in the area?
And when you find something or you visit something, and what becomes, do you remove things and give them to a different party, say a tribe or somebody else, or do you leave them on site, or is it kind of a mixture depending on the circumstances?
That's a complicated
it's a
question.
I imagine it does get complicated because the idea is not necessarily that we pull things out and put them on display, but preserve them as is appropriate for the cultural context.
Mm-hmm. So the majority of what we do is probably, you know, maintenance or pavement preservation type projects where mm-hmm. we're just trying to maintain the roadway because that takes a lot of effort too, and that's really important. New builds, we do some of them, but not as much as the pavement preservation. So our goal is always to avoid, then minimize, and then mitigate. So when we identify a site, we're always trying to work with the designers and try to understand, okay, well, we have this site here. We know that the site is eligible because not all sites are significant according to the law.
Sure.
We need to only focus on those that are eligible. So if we know that we have an eligible site, we need to work with the designers and we say, okay, what activity is being conducted here? Do we have to have that activity right here? Can we move it slightly? So we're always first trying to avoid, then we're trying to minimize, and minimize is like, okay, well, we can move it a little bit. We'll just clip an edge of the site. And then sometimes it's just not possible to avoid the site.
And you take other measures to mitigate whatever needs to be done to provide the new freeway or the, do the maintenance or whatever the case may be. In other words, you are working very closely with our engineers and our designers, these men and women who are at the draft board, so to speak, computer, of course, putting together all these designs for newer, safer, or improved highways, and yet they really can't do a whole lot without you guys, the cultural resources people, being intimately involved.
Yes, the key to success in any project is to get all of the different parties, and there are a lot of them. There's the environmental, there's right-of-way, utilities, signage. All of these people have a part to play in the creation of a successful project, and that involves communication early so that they can identify any concerns from each of the groups and then try to negotiate and talk through those till we get the final result.
And so this is real teamwork, and you're all we're all trying to score the same touchdown at the end of the day, where everybody has as much of a win as possible. So you, what drew you to archaeology? Was that something as a child you went, oh, this is fascinating to me? What brought you into this world?
Like most people, I had a fascination with Egypt. I think that's kind of where it starts. And then, you know, strangely enough, I got this old copy of a National Geographic that had an article on Pompeii. And to me, it was the coolest thing ever that you could see a slice of history, a day in the life of a prehistoric person and how they lived.
And just in case people don't know what Pompeii is or was, Mount Vesuvius blew up, I forget the date, but basically buried the ancient city of Pompeii, kind of leaving it as is or as was for us to look at now.
Yes, it captured a moment of time. It happened so quickly, everything covered, and you could see the, you know, utensils left the way they were. This is morbid, but you could kind of see how people just died. They left depressions. So it's just a fascinating glimpse into history. And the history that we often can't see through regular archaeology, we get the bigger picture, but we don't get really into the specifics. We can't see what happened in a day like Pompeii.
Right. So that drew you into, where'd you go to school, college?
I went to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and also the University of Oklahoma, Norman.
Okay, so Boomer Sooner. I don't know what the Wisconsin Badgers, but that's not...
I'm a Panther.
A Panther,
Badgers,
not the Badgers.
Madison.
Badgers, we don't need no Badgers. Okay, so, and you came out to Arizona. Why? Was there something about our history, or there, maybe it was a very mundane reason that brought you out here, but clearly archaeology has brought you, or at least is doing something to fulfill you here.
The Southwest is one of the greatest places for archaeology in the United States. We have a very different climate, a very different environment, and very different kinds of people who lived here prehistorically. So in the Midwest and in the South, how you do archaeology is much different. You have to actually dig holes in the ground because it's covered with grass.
Right.
Out here, it's much easier. While you do have things that sting and bite and scratch you,
yes,
you can see the ground. So it's a lot easier, and there's a lot more development, and with our state and federal lands, there's a lot more employment for archaeologists because every project they do, it's going to require archaeology.
Is it safe to say that departments of transportation like ADOT and maybe New Mexico and perhaps parts of Texas, California, and Utah and so forth, they have more to do than, say, Maryland or New York, someplace like, not to put those under the bus necessarily, but it sounds like we have a more, a larger responsibility in this part of the country.
There are cultural resources everywhere, and they do the same process. They just may not have as many as we have.
Okay. But it sounds like we have a fairly distinct responsibility that maybe others don't have it at the, quite the same level in other states.
Yeah, we can get more information. We know more about our cultures because we've done so much work, so much construction, so much infrastructure. And ADOT's really been a key part of that.
Sure.
During that 1980s and 90s with all of the freeway construction in Phoenix, we learned a lot more about the Ho'okam than we had known before. Large-scale excavations occurred. An example is the freeway, the Ho'okam Freeway.
Sure, State Route 143. By the Sky Harbor Airport, yeah.
By Sky Harbor and also just east of Pueblo Grande.
Right.
And so there were a ton of archaeological sites that were excavated during that time, and one of them was Park of the Four Waters, which gave us an important beginning understanding of irrigation technology, which the Ho'okam excelled at, and which we still today use some of the Ho'okam canals.
Yeah, in the Phoenix area, if you don't know, if you're listening, a lot of the canals in the Phoenix area that deliver water to customers follow the same path as ancient peoples from 400 or 500 years ago, whatever it was, a very long time ago, which is amazing to think about. It's a gravity-fed system, very efficient, and it's brilliant. Is it safe to say that ADOT can take some credit, even if it's ironic, that because of our construction, because of the work that we do, we're learning more about our history than we would have otherwise?
Yeah, that's just one instance. Another one is in Coolidge in the 90s, so we're mm-hmm. moving up in time.
Yeah.
In the 90s for State Route 87, 287 in Coolidge, they were widening it, mm-hmm. and that happens to be right where Casa Grande, Hovath, and Grusite are located.
Right.
And so they did
the Casa Grande National Monument, not the mm-hmm. not the city of Casa Grande, but they're very close by, of course.
Yes. Yes. And so GRU was a huge prehistoric, pre-classic site where the residents that would eventually be in Casa Grande lived. And so they did extensive excavations. A lot of information was learned, and the importance of the information was about households. Previously, we knew what the households were, but GRU was there for a very long time, and we studied 250 of them and in house clusters. So we were really able to understand how households changed over time and how they moved around the site and how they moved to Casa Grande.
So we're learning about irrigation. We're learning about lifestyles. We're learning about how people endure a very harsh conditions in the desert at a time when obviously there's no air conditioning. It's a much, much different world. We're benefiting from that, aren't we, as a society?
Yes. I mean, if you're thinking of philosophically, archaeology is important because, you know, there are people who lived here prehistorically that had the same concerns we did. Can I grow my crops? Can I get enough water? How is the climate affecting us? And studying what they did can give us hints to what might we do better.
I know a lot of people probably just aren't into history, which is, I think, is a shame. But really, we have to study that in order, just as you said, we may find wisdom from hundreds, if not thousands of years ago that help us deal with, as you said, modern problems. And your ADOT and your team are a definite part of that. What feelings do you get when you go out to a site and maybe you see something that's just unique and amazing? What does that do for you and your team, just in terms of the satisfaction, I guess?
I think our satisfaction comes with working with our tribal partners, because we are trying to find that balance. You know, when we excavate something, we do gain that knowledge that helps us with archaeology, and we're destroying that site, and there's archaeology, cultural resources are non-renewable. So we are losing things when we do excavation, but we're gaining knowledge. And I think that, to me, it's most satisfying when we can work with our tribal partners. Maybe they have a concern about, you know, a particular site, and we can work with the engineers to maybe avoid it or minimize it so that everybody is relatively happy. So to me, that's what gives me the greatest joy, when we can find the balance.
And the work continues. And where can people, we have information on our website about what you do. Am I correct in saying that if they go to azdot.gov, they can find out a little bit more about what you do, right?
Yep.
So azdot.gov, and just do a search for cultural resources, and you can learn all sorts of things about what ADOT is doing to protect these valuable resources, the people who do it, and the passion they have for this. Chris Powell has been our guest, and we really appreciate you taking the time, Chris. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. This is a great day, and we have enjoyed this time together, so we'll see you next time.
Thanks for spending some time on the road with ADOT. To learn more about ADOT, visit our website at azdot.gov, where you can also connect with our links to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Flickr, and YouTube. That's at azdot.gov. Goodbye for now, and thanks for being on the road with ADOT.